Let me take a moment to remind people, if you're just joining us, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey, and we have been talking today about the state of local news in Illinois. And we began in the context of these papers that looked at the COVID-19 pandemic and local news and information seeking during that. And we're now going to transition to talk about just more broadly about the state of local news in Illinois. There has been a long, slow decline, especially when we're talking about newspapers. But how bad is the problem here? What do our communities lose when local news sources are gutted by, say, private equity companies, or even shut down entirely? And what can we do about it? These are questions that a statewide task force, the Local Journalism Task Force, asked and tried to answer over the past year. The group released its findings in January, and for the rest of the program today, we're going to be talking about what came out of the task force and where some of the group's proposals stand. Nikki Usher has been with us throughout the show today. Currently, they're associate professor in the Department of Communication at the University of San Diego. Usher was before that a professor at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. And during that time, they were an academic representative on the task force, although Usher left before the final report when they moved to San Diego. Also on the task force was Sam Fisher, who is former president and CEO of the Illinois Press Association. He worked in the newspaper business for several decades. In his later years as a self-described small-town community publisher, Sam, welcome to the 21st Show. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for the invite.
Jenna Dooley is also with us, immediate past president of the Illinois News Broadcasters Association, and it was in that role that she was appointed to serve on the task force. She may also be familiar to our listeners in northern Illinois because she's news director at our partner station, WNIJ in DeKalb. Jenna, welcome back to the show to you as well.
Thanks again for having me.
As always, you can join our conversation by calling 800-222-9455. How is local media doing where you are? And how does that compare to even 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago? What do you think we can do to help local journalism survive and thrive? 800-222-9455. All right, Sam, I want to begin with you for this part of the show. As we were talking about earlier with Nikki, this has been a tumultuous past couple decades for newspapers. How have you seen that landscape change from where you've been?
Well, it's increasingly getting tougher and tougher. The Press Association represents approximately 400 newspapers across the state of Illinois. And the vast majority of those newspapers are really small newspapers. And a lot of them are, you know, what we classify as mom and pop operations. And so they're in small communities across the state, and they're facing a revenue problem. And it's the same problem that larger papers are facing, but it's becoming increasingly more difficult to do what they have historically done, given the revenue declines. And then on top of that, we're seeing a lot of increased costs. You know, newspapers historically talked about their three top costs being the three P's: paper, postage, and people. Postage has gone up dramatically. Paper has gone up dramatically. And unfortunately, people have been one of the things that they've had to cut. And that's been kind of universal across the state. So, you know, the great thing about this task force is that we had a really good and frank discussion about the state of local news and how important it is. And as a longtime newspaper publisher, I can tell you it's critical. I mean, it's absolutely important. Because, you know, besides reporting on what goes on in high school sports and area events, we keep an eye on local government. And, you know, that's something that has to be done. And I see when I first came to be a publisher in Princeton, Illinois, you go to a city council meeting and there would be three members of the media there. There would be the daily paper, my paper, and the local radio station. And unfortunately, sometimes there is nobody there, and that's not a good thing. So ultimately, I mean, it gets down to trusted news sources. And so ultimately, you know, who do you trust to provide you that content or what's going on in your local units of government? Mm-hmm. And that's a scary proposition for me.
Jenna, TV and radio stations have faced a different set of challenges from newspapers, but there have also been cutbacks and consolidation there. Talk about what you've seen over the time you've been in this field.
Yeah, and I know I'm talking to a public radio audience, and in fact, that's what I hoped to bring to the task force, as well as commercial TV broadcasters across the state. And like Sam mentioned, I represented, as far as the Illinois News Broadcasters Association, a lot of downstate outlets outside of Chicago, outside of the St. Louis, Illinois side market. A lot of stations who have young reporters that are working really, really hard in difficult conditions, particularly for public media. As we look at state funding over the past 15 years, it's decreased. And, you know, this helps provide arts, news, children's educational programming from Chicago to Carbondale. And it allows the information to flow to residents without subscription or paywall, which I think is really important. So I know in radio news, we don't like to rattle off a string of numbers. I'm just going to suspend that broadcast rule for just a minute to focus on a couple important numbers. So in the early 80s, Illinois funding for public broadcasting statewide was about $1 million a year under Governor Jim Thompson. By the early 2000s, it reached its peak of around just over $5 million under George Ryan, then was zeroed out during the Rauner budget impasse for 2 years. Currently, it's budgeted around $1.6 million. So to put it another way, Illinois funding for public broadcasting is about 12 cents per resident per year, 12 cents. Iowa, for comparison, spends $2.57 per capita when it comes to public broadcasting. And the task force noted that the amount for Illinois would be around $9 million if it had kept up with inflation. So we've definitely seen, when we talk about not only state funding, but also underwriting support or advertising support, which has decreased over not only during the pandemic, but over the last decade. And that affects staffing, that affects programming decisions as well.
All right, we need to take a break. We are going to continue this conversation when we come back. If you're just joining us, we're talking about the work of the Local Journalism Task Force in Illinois. It met over the past year and released its findings in January. Our guests for this part of the show are Jenna Dooley, who is on the board of the Illinois News Broadcasters Association and past president of that organization, Sam Fisher, former president and CEO of the Illinois Press Association, also a former local newspaper publisher, and Nikki Usher, who is a professor in communication at the University of San Diego, but also was previously professor at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign and served for a time on the task force in that capacity. 800-222-9455. We will continue after a short break. This is the 21st Show. Stay with us. This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're talking throughout our program today about the slow decline of local news in Illinois and across the nation. We're talking about the work now and the findings of the Local Journalism Task Force, which worked all last year to get a sense of the problems and offer some solutions that state government could take up in, or could take up, I should emphasize it that way, state government could take up in the coming months and years. We are talking about this with Nikki Usher, a communications professor at the University of San Diego and former member of the task force in their role as a professor at the University of Illinois, Jenna Dooley, news director at Northern Public Radio, WNIJ in DeKalb, but on the task force in her role as immediate past president of the Illinois News Broadcasters Association, and Sam Fisher, a longtime newspaper publisher, also former president and CEO of the Illinois Press Association, and another member of the task force. 800-222-9455 is the number to join us today. 800-222-9455. Sam, let me come back to you. So we're going to get into some of the ideas to deal with the decline of local journalism a little later on. But to what extent do you get a sense that there's at least a consensus that this is something government needs to deal with, as opposed to news outlets coming up with their own solutions for this problem?
Well, I think the heartening thing for me is that, well, let me start too and talk about the task force. It was comprised of some really, really good people that represented all aspects of local journalism. And so it was just a great conversation. And also we brought in a lot of people to talk about it from the outside, whether it was the News Media Alliance, Local Media Association, people in Illinois doing startup websites or startup publications. So it was really good. I think, you know, on the national level, unfortunately, you know, there have been bills out there to try to address this, whose policy solutions. It didn't go anywhere, and it's probably not going to go anywhere given the state of Congress right now. And so what we've seen is the states take it on themselves. And we see a number of these initiatives, many of which we recommended, are being done in other states. So we're thinking that there is a possible policy solution out there. And one of the most obvious ones is to ask the state to spend half of their advertising expenditures with local media outlets. And that adds no cost to the state. And unfortunately, during the COVID crisis, the amount of money that was spent by IDPH and others would have been a great help to these smaller news outlets across the state. So we're hopeful that, you know, that these policy solutions that we recommended will get some traction.
Nikki Usher, I wonder what you think of that proposal idea. And, you know, say what you will. I don't know if you want to necessarily take a position on any specific legislation or specific ideas, but particularly in the context of your study, if the state is trying to disseminate information and spending its money, you know, deciding where to spend its money, how should we think about that?
Well, usually when the state is advertising something, they're advertising something that communities need to know about. And while I certainly see that the subsidy ends up being essentially revenue neutral, which is a plus, I do worry a little bit about, whether those advertisements that are supposed to reach people with specific messages in a timely way will be able to do so in the current state of our local media ecosystem, just the reality of where people are encountering news and information. And then I just get back from a trip with the U.S. State Department to Serbia. And I mention this because the level of capture of, you know, advertising that comes from the state, you know, obviously it's a different situation, but it is a reminder that the state begins to hold a lot of power over the fortunes of news organizations when it starts to provide more and more of that revenue through advertising.
Yeah, Nikki, can I add? Let's talk as a subsidy. Let's talk it as an investment.
Okay. Jenna, let me ask you, let me bring you back into the conversation now. So we heard one idea there about advertising. What are some of the other proposals from the task force that jumped out to you?
Sure. One that I was most interested related to student fellowship programs. I'm here at a major public university here at Northern Illinois University. We consider ourselves a farm team for future journalists. And so we work with we have students directly from the Department of Journalism who I think get a great internship experience here. You hear them on the air, they're writing, they're getting a lot of experience here because of the size of our station and our investment in mentoring. And that benefits the entire state of journalism because these students upon graduation will have the skills from the classroom, they'll have the skills hands-on in our newsroom, as well as whether they choose to go to TV, newspaper, radio, and if they keep those skills here in the state. And so one of the policy proposals was to create some more formalized fellowship programs to offer incentives for students to stay in the state. And I'm really excited about the prospect of that because I see what it looks like here in my newsroom. And I think there's a really talented pipeline. And I think it would be great to harness that here in Illinois instead of students having to go out of state for their skill building.
Yeah, and you and I both, I think, went through the public affairs reporting program in Springfield for the University of Illinois Springfield there.
Yeah.
Yeah. But a program that has struggled in some ways because of the lack of news outlets where they could place their students to do sort of essentially what were fellowships reporting on the legislative session. Let's go to the phones. 800-222-9455 is the number. And Lydia is calling from Woodstock. Lydia, thank you for waiting.
Well, thank you for this opportunity. I have been a longtime listener and also a contributor. WNIJ, DeKalb Rockford, excellent, excellent station. Nevertheless, this analog-digital warfare has been in place for more than 20 years. This is a conscious effort that would, that one time even made a public radio station in St. Louis not available. The analog, if it is not strong, is not going to be able to be heard by people who still want to hear it on the radio because the digital is stronger. And this is a method that I brought up when I was happily a person who could talk about this at the Diane Rehm presentation. And Jenna Dooley, if you want to do it, you have to go floppy disk. And that's how back it goes. This digital warfare has been in place, and the religious stations know how very, very, very powerful this is. I can still get analog with Wisconsin Public Radio. I have to go down to a Wi-Fi section of my house to get WNIJ. And I'm sorry to hear that, but that should not happen. And for all kinds of financial reasons, you should try to also include analog in your format.
All right. Thank you, Lydia. I appreciate the call. Let me, Jenna, I don't know if you want to respond to that. Go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, first, thanks for your contribution, Lydia. I mean, that is part of the solution as we look at providing news that doesn't have a paywall for everyone to enjoy. But I think you're touching on why I think that the term investment is a good term, and where we do see that government does have a role at times to make sure that even in news deserts, that that there is news reaching people on radio. Times when there's severe weather and the power goes down, making sure that people get life-saving information on a variety of platforms. And that, as we look at the infrastructure side of it, we want to make sure we're reaching folks wherever they're at, because we believe in the mission of what we do, as well as the things we've talked about earlier this hour of the times when that can save lives. And so I agree with Lydia in terms of the, I believe that the investment in infrastructure is a worthy one, and we have to look at a variety of ways to secure that, whether that's through public or private ways of doing that. But I think the investment is worthy.
Nikki Usher, about 5 minutes left in our time on the show today. And I want to go bigger picture here. And I'm going to read the lead of a recent piece that was in the Financial Times. It said, "For all the angst about polarization and disinformation, something very different is in fact going on with news consumption. The mass media age is ending. We're returning to a time when most people get almost no news," end quote. What do you think of that?
I mean, I think it's maybe a statement that's made 30 or 40 years too late, because honestly, like there was actually a book called The Post-Broadcast Democracy, I believe. And when you talk about the rise of cable television, the same phenomena happened, right? All of a sudden, you could just, at least in my case, gorge out MTV, so I think this is something we've seen before. The difference is that the platforms that people are using to get this content has been specifically set up to target those folks with the exact content they've shown previous engagement with in order to keep them on Facebook or Google or whatever it might be. And that's the big difference, is sort of the lack of incidental discovery that just happens because you are flipping through the channels.
Sam, what do you think about that? You're not just competing with the local TV and radio stations anymore. You're competing with TikTok and every other social media and video game and everything else that's out there. How do local newspapers stay relevant?
They need to report the local news, and that's the news that's important to your community, and that's however you define community. To be relevant, you have to report what's going on in your communities. And that's kind of the problem right now, is we just, we've seen the number of journalists across the country in Illinois diminish, and consequently local news has suffered for that. But to be relevant, you have to report what's going on in your community.
And Jenna, what do you think about that? Public media, I mean, we have had our ups and downs. There have been stations in Illinois. I think our fellow stations in Macomb and Springfield have seen university support dialed way back or and on a path to zero, if not already zero, in at least one of those communities.
Well, fact is, we're spread thin. And this is really fascinating. Earlier this week, I took a call with a citizen-led group in Freeport. They launched a new podcast called Free Pod. It's independent, but it's completely based on dozens of community volunteers. They saw that their local newspaper was rolling back after, years and years. So they got together and they said, "What can we do about it?" And so it's a direct result of what concerned citizens see as a lack of information in their community. Now, this is one solution. So they're working with a community college, a local high school, to get more folks involved in creating and sharing the information. These are not journalists, but I will tell you, they're committed to objectivity and accuracy. We're talking about maybe co-hosting candidate forums to make sure that we can help with our capacity, make sure that we work together to make sure that we are helping solve this. But it might not just fall on journalists. But with that, they're worried about their funding model. They have no budget, but they care and they want to be nonpartisan. They want to be independent. And I'm really intrigued by learning more about these efforts that are popping up around the state.
Jenna Dooley is past president of the Illinois News Broadcasters Association. Sam Fisher is former president and CEO of the Illinois Press Association. And Nikki Usher is associate professor at the University of San Diego in the Department of Communication, formerly at the University of Illinois. All three of them were on the Local Journalism Task Force. We'll have a link to their report on our website, 21stshow.org. Jenna, Sam, Nikki, thank you so much for being with us today on the 21st Show.
Great to be here.
Thank you very much.
Coming up tomorrow on the program, we'll have a conversation with David Marinus, the longtime legendary journalist. He's written about everyone from Bill Clinton and Barack Obama to the great Native American football player Jim Thorpe. He is going to be in Urbana tomorrow for an event at the University of Illinois. We'll be talking with him live on the program. The 21st Show is produced by Christine Hatfield and Jose Zepeda. Our digital producer is Damian Contreras. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. The 21st Show is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey.